I talked yesterday about what St. Paul might have been meaning about that, that the failure of the Jews to recognize Christ was necessary in order to open the floodgates of salvation to the Gentile world, that if the early church had been almost entirely Jewish, it would have been that much more difficult for the Gentile world to come in. But the Jews' failure to recognize Christ, as St. Paul says, their rejection meant the reconciliation of the world. But wait, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? Their final, in the end days, the return of Israel to the church, the entry of Israel into the church, will mean life from the dead. And that's what I want to talk about today, life from the dead. What's that mean? What is that life from the dead? What is St. Paul talking about? St. Paul is suggesting that when the Jews do enter the church in the end times, they will bring a special blessing into the church, a special rejuvenation into the church, as he says, life from the dead. What do Jews who enter the church bring into the church, and what does the Catholic Church mean to the Jews who enter it? That's what I'll be talking about, and I want to talk about that in the words of the Jews themselves who have entered into the church. As I mentioned yesterday also, I myself am a Jewish convert, a Jewish entrant into the church. Today I will be focusing on the words of other Jewish converts, but tomorrow perhaps I'll have a chance to give my own witness testimony. First, let me talk a little bit about the word convert itself. It seems to me a strange word to be using when talking about Jews who enter the church, because a Jew who enters the church doesn't give up a single word of his Jewish faith. He doesn't give up a single word of the Jewish scriptures. Every word in the Jewish Old Testament is encompassed by the Catholic Church. Every word in the Jewish scriptures is in the Catholic Bible, is recognized by the Catholic Church as the divine revelation of God. The only thing that changes when a Jew enters the church isn't that he gives up any of his Jewish beliefs. He just goes from thinking that Jesus was the Messiah to understanding that Jesus was the Jewish Messiah. So it hardly seems to me or to any other Jew who enters into the Catholic Church as a conversion at all. If the Catholic faith is true, and of course it is, then the Catholic Church is nothing else than the continuation of Judaism after the coming of the Jewish Messiah. All of Judaism was about praying for, about yearning for, about working for, about sacrificing for, and about preparing for the coming of the Jewish Messiah, and he did come. When God became man, when the second person of the Most Holy Trinity took on a human nature to suffer and die and redeem us and open the gates of heaven for all mankind, of course that changed the entire relationship between man and God. The intention of Judaism from the very beginning wasn't to gain salvation just for the Jews. It was to bring the Messiah to the entire world, to gain salvation for all of mankind. And that's what the Catholic Church is. It is the fulfillment of the promise of Judaism. I didn't change religions when I entered the Catholic Church. I just went from being a Jew who was wrong about who Jesus was to being a Jew who is right about who Jesus was. I felt and I feel more Jewish than ever. And that's not only the case with me, but it's the case with every other Jew that I know of or ever heard of who entered the Catholic Church. And let me talk about that a little bit in some of their own words. Let me begin with Cardinal Archbishop Rustiger, who was the Cardinal Archbishop of Paris from 1981 until shortly before his death last year. He also was a Jew who most gratefully entered the Catholic Church, not thinking that he had converted at all, but in fact feeling more Jewish than ever. As he wrote in his autobiography, quote, "I explained to my father that baptism would not make me abandon my Jewish condition at all. Quite the contrary, it would simply lead me to find it, to receive the fullness of its meaning. I did not have the feeling that I was betraying my heritage or abandoning anything whatsoever, but just the opposite. I felt that I was going to find the import, the meaning of what I had received at birth. I did nothing more than begin to enjoy the heritage that had been promised to me." Close quote. The heritage that had been promised to me. The heritage that had been promised to the Jews, to the Jewish people, the promise that made them the chosen people in the first place. For what was that promise? Look at the very beginning of the Jewish people. Look at the moment that the Jewish people were chosen. the moment that the first promise was made. The Jews became the chosen people when Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son Isaac on Mount Moriah. And in return for that gesture of Abraham, God chose them to bring the Messiah to the whole world. That story is found in Genesis chapter 22. After leading his son Isaac up the mountain of Moriah with the wood for Isaac's own sacrifice on the boy's shoulders, and binding Isaac upon the pile of wood at the top of the mountain, preparing to sacrifice him, and raising the knife about to drive it into Isaac's breast, Abraham sacrificing his only beloved begotten son to God, the angel of the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "Stop! Because you have done this and were willing to sacrifice your only beloved son to God, it is through your seed that all of the nations of the earth shall be blessed. It is through your seed all of the nations of the earth shall be blessed. It is through your seed that the Messiah will be sent to bring redemption to all of mankind." That was the election of the Jews. That was the choosing of the Jews. That's what made the Jews the chosen people. The promise to send the Messiah through the seed of Abraham. And that's what Jesus was. He was the Messiah sent through the seed of Abraham. It was to send the Messiah to the world through the Jewish people, through the seed of Abraham, to come to know Jesus, to come into intimacy with Jesus, to receive Jesus' body, blood, soul, and divinity in the most blessed sacrament, is to enjoy the heritage that had been promised to the Jews, because the heritage that had been promised to the Jews was the Messiah that was to come through the seed of Abraham, who was Jesus. Let me go back to that story for a moment. Abraham took his only beloved son, Isaac, put the wood on his shoulders for his own sacrifice, and led him up the mountain of Moriah to sacrifice him at the top of the mountain. 2,000 years later, Jesus took the wood for his own sacrifice on his shoulders and climbed the mountain to be the sacrifice that God the Father was willing to make of his only beloved son to redeem all of mankind. That mountain, which is known as Mount Moriah in the days of Abraham, had a different name 2,000 years later. It was known as Mount Calvary. It is the very same mountain. If you go to Jerusalem, you can visit the spot where Abraham bound Isaac, and you can walk about 500 yards along the same ridge to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, where God made a sacrifice of his very own son after he carried the wood for his own sacrifice up the mountains. We can see from this how the Catholic Church is the fulfillment of Judaism, and that Judaism was there to prepare the way for redemption through the Catholic Church. Now, since I mentioned the Most Blessed Sacrament, let me talk about another Jew who entered the Church, whose conversion came about through the Eucharist, through the Most Blessed Sacrament, and who spent the rest of his life promoting the Eucharist, promoting Eucharistic adoration and extolling Jesus in the Most Blessed Sacrament. His name, before he became a Catholic, was Hermann Cohen. He lived in the middle of the 19th century. He was a superstar solo pianist. He, at the age of 14, 15, 16, was playing sold-out solo piano recitals in all of the capitals of Europe. He was the protege of Franz Liszt, who was undoubtedly the foremost pianist of the 19th century. He was the Mick Jagger of his day, Hermann Cohen. As a teenager, he had money thrown at him. He was hosted by kings and queens in their palaces. He lived a debauched life of wine, women, and song. When I looked into his life, I found out that the life of a music star in those days wasn't all that different from the life of a rock star today. It was pretty shady. And it was in this state of total depravity, having given himself over to wine, women, and song, that he was asked by a friend of his to fill in as choir director at a church service one afternoon. His friend was a prince, his friend was sick, his friend couldn't fulfill his role as a choir director. He asked his friend Hermann Cohen to take his place and to do a favor for a prince, which is what you did in those days, and out of his love for music, Hermann Cohen agreed. It turned out to be a benediction service on Sunday afternoon in the church, and when the Most Blessed Sacrament was raised in the monstrance, Hermann Cohen was forced to his knees by an irresistible pressure on his shoulders. He found himself prostrate on the ground, and now let me read some of his own words. This is Hermann Cohen. Quote, "At the moment of elevation, All of a sudden, I felt burst forth behind my eyelids a flood of tears that did not cease to flow with a voluptuous abundance down my inflamed cheeks. I remember having cried a few times as a child, but no, never did I know such tears. While they were drowning me, I felt surge up from the depths of my chest, split open by my conscience, the most tearing remorse over my entire past life. All of a sudden, spontaneously, I offered God a general confession, interior and rapid, of all of my enormous sins since childhood. I saw them there piled up before me by the thousands, hideous, repulsive, revolting, deserving all of the anger of a sovereign judge, and yet I also felt an unknown calm that soon spread over my entire soul like a soothing balm, that the God of mercy would forgive me these, that he would turn his gaze away from my crimes, that he would take pity on my sincere contrition and my bitter sorrow. Yes, I felt that he would give me grace, and that he would accept in expiation my firm resolution to love him above all else, and to turn to him from then on. When I left the church, I was already a Christian, as much a Christian as it is possible to be before baptism. Close quote. So we see that it was in the presence of the most blessed sacrament, when the host was elevated in the monstrance, that Hermann Cohen received the grace of conversion, that God himself revealed himself to him, that God revealed the hideousness, the horror, the revolting blackness of the sin that he was in, and at the same time revealed his infinite mercy, that would he only turn away from his sin with sincere contrition and resolve to follow God, God would wipe that all away, and God spread a soothing balm over Hermann Cohen's soul. And from that moment on, Hermann Cohen turned away from his sin, his life of debauchery and sin. This time, preaching to crowds of thousands, converting them, and everywhere he went, he set up an adoration chapel and societies for nocturnal adoration to adore our Lord Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament throughout the night in all of the capitals of Europe. Let me read some of the things he wrote and preached about the Most Blessed Sacrament. O Jesus Eucharist, in the desert of this life you appeared one day. You revealed to me your light, your grandeur, your beauty. You changed my entire being. You in an instant vanquished all my enemies. Then, attracting me with an irresistible pull, you excited my soul in all-consuming hunger for this bread of life. You lit in my heart a burning thirst for your divine blood. Then the day came when you gave yourself to me, even today, when I remember my heart skips a beat and I dare not breathe. My God, is it possible to have lived without thinking of Jesus, without loving Jesus, without living for Jesus and in Jesus? And now that your grace has awoken me, that my eyes have seen, that my hands have touched, that my ears have heard, that my heart has tasted, I love Jesus Christ. That's the secret of my immense happiness. Those quote. Repeating a line from there, you excited my soul in all consuming hunger for this bread of life. You lit in my heart a burning thirst for your divine love. May all Catholics have that all-consuming hunger for the bread of life. May all Catholics, all Christians have that burning thirst for his divine blood. What can the Jews bring to the church when they enter? Well, we see what Hermann Cohen brought. He brought a very special love and devotion to the Most Blessed Sacrament, to Jesus, his Lord and Master, our Lord and Master, in the most holy Eucharist. I would like to talk for hours just about Hermann Cohen. I don't have the time to today. Let me digress for a moment and mention that I have written a book. In fact, I've written two books. One of the books is just a collection of Jewish Catholic witness testimonies. What I'm talking about is drawn from that book today. It's called Honey from the Rock, 16 Jews find this weakness of Christ. It's got the story of Henry Cohen in there, and it's got the story of 15 other Jewish Catholic converts in there that express the full gratitude and passion that they have for what they found in the fulfillment of Judaism in the Catholic Church. The book's published by Nature's Press. It's available in most any bookstore, certainly any Catholic bookstore, any mass market bookstores like Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, and so forth. And I also, by the way, as long as I'm talking about, I have a website, www.salvationistfromthejewsalloneword.com, and you can find the stories of these and other Jewish Catholics on that website, along with lots of other information about the relationship between Judaism and the Catholic Church. But it's time for me to move on. Let me move on to another Jewish Catholic convert who had a very special relationship to the Most Blessed Sacrament. His name was Charlie Rich. He lived in the 20th century this time. He started life as a Hasidic Jew. The Hasidic Jews are the ultra-Orthodox Jews with the long ear soles and the long black coats. He was raised in Hungary. He moved to New York City. In New York City, he lost his faith. Without God, life had no meaning. He attempted suicide a couple of times. After a failed attempt at suicide, he was walking through New York City. It was a hot summer day. It was the 1950s before air conditioning. The only cool places were dark churches. He stopped in an empty, dark Catholic church to just sit and get out of the heat. He sat down under a stained glass window of Jesus filling the waters. He looked up through the window and said to himself, if only it were true, and he heard a voice say, it is all true. Let me continue in his words. The next thing I remember was that I found myself on my knees in fervent prayer and thanksgiving. God himself came to my rescue that day. He himself spoke to me with his own voice, saying to me that Christ is God. From that day on, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ took on a significance that he never had. There was an ineffable fragrance of the word Jesus Christ, a sweetness with which nothing can be compared. The sound of these words to this day fills me with a strange joy that does not come from this world. It would have been in vain to have been born had God not been good enough to extend me the grace to become a member of the mystical body of Christ, the Church of Rome is. Without the life Christ is, there is no life at all. It is being a Catholic that matters and not any other thing the world has, however good and beautiful it may be. The Church of Rome gives us God himself. It does so in all his fullness. A greater gift than God is a human being cannot hope to receive. We receive the gift God himself is when we receive Holy Communion. To become more intimately united with God than the Church enables us to be by means of the Holy Sacraments, we must take leave of this life. Amen. Isn't that just Christianity 101? Isn't that just Catholicism 101? To become more intimately united with God than the Church enables us to be by means of the Holy Sacraments, we must take leave of this life. Sometimes it's easier for those of us who come from outside the Church to recognize the infinite gift and privilege that is available to us in the Catholic Church. There is a danger that people who are born and raised Catholics might take this for granted, might even not take it so seriously, might think that the Catholic Church is a religion like other religions. Well, it isn't. It is the system that God set up on earth to provide for the ultimate intimacy between God and man available during this period between birth and death. That system had two stages. The first stage was Judaism, which he set up to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. That stage was limited to one ethnic group by its very nature, which is the Jewish people. But the intention of that from the very start was that when the Messiah came, that special relationship between God and man would be opened up to the whole world through faith in Jesus, through the sacraments of the Catholic Church, and that is what the Catholic Church is. I would like to talk for hours and hours about this, but I can't right now because I'll be kicked off the air in about 3 minutes. So let me mention that I will be speaking in the Boston area a couple of times over the next few weeks. This coming Friday evening and Saturday afternoon, October 24th and 25th, I'll be at St. Luke the Evangelist Parish in Plaistow, New Hampshire. The number there is 603-382-8324 for more information. By the way, there's more information on all of these speaking engagements on my website, also www.salvationistfromthejews.com. Then the following Thursday, that's Thursday, October 30th, I'll be at my father's house in Newtown, Connecticut for a one-day retreat. The number there is 860-873-8324. 1581 for more information to find out about that. And then the following week on November 5th, that is, I believe, a Wednesday evening, I'll be at St. Clement Shrine, that's part of the Oblates of the Virgin Mary on Boylston Street in Boston, speaking at 7 p.m. The number there is 617-266-5999. I mentioned the book that I wrote, Honey from the Rock, 16 Jews Find the Sweetness of Christ. I had also written another book a couple of years earlier called Salvation is from the Jews, The Role of Judaism in Salvation History from Abraham to the Second Coming. It contains mostly theology, the entire story of the economy of salvation from a Catholic perspective, from Abraham to the Second Coming, the first half, of course, passing through Judaism, and the second half passing through the Catholic Church. And in looking at things that way, it sheds, I believe, a great deal of light on the role of the Jews in this period between the First Coming and the Second Coming, the role of the conversion of the Jews in the Second Coming, and what that tells us about the inner meaning of the Holocaust, the inner meaning of the current rise in Islam, of the diabolical attack on the Jews to abort the Second Coming. I want to close with a prayer, as I did yesterday. The prayer, I will leave a bunch of prayer cards with Father Tom, and if you write to him with a stamped self-addressed envelope, I'm sure he will send you a couple of the cards. If you enclose a donation also, I'm sure he'll be grateful to you and grateful to me for mentioning it. So let me read another prayer. This one is also a canonical Catholic prayer. It's from the Catholic Breviary for Day 6 of the Week of Christian Unity, which used to be dedicated to praying for the conversion of the Jews. Let me close with that prayer from the Catholic Breviary. Quote, O God, who manifests your mercy and compassion towards all peoples, have mercy upon the Jewish race, once your chosen people. You selected them alone out of all the nations of the world to be the custodians of your sacred teachings. From them you raised up prophets and patriarchs to announce the coming of the Redeemer. You will that your only Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, should be a Jew according to the flesh, born of a Jewish maiden in the land of promise. Listen to the prayers we offer you today for the conversion of the Jewish people. Grant that they may come safely to a knowledge and love of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah foretold by their prophets, that they may walk with us in the way of salvation. Amen. Thank you. Come again tomorrow. Bye.
This has been In Season the Hangout with Superman Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help if the Lord needs you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.
In Season and Out of Season is sponsored by In Season and Out of Season.
Thank you for making my dream a reality and publishing my very first book.
Karen Notner is author of Is Jesus Your Pearl?
You encouraged me, you laughed with me, and you held my hand through the entire process.
Karen's publisher is Zulon Press. Do you dream about publishing? Make the dream real with America's fastest growing Christian book publisher. Your free publishing guide is waiting at ChristianPublishing.com.
Thank you so much to all the wonderful professionals at Zulon Press.
Visit Zulon Press at ChristianPublishing.com.
Credit card debt can ruin your life. Many American families are only a few paychecks away from bankruptcy due to high debt loans. There are secret programs that credit card companies don't want you to know about that will reduce your debt. Financial freedom.